The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
I want to talk about women.
Oh, good. I just spent time with one in Dallas, so.
Okay, here we go. I'm
well versed on the subject.
We've already started. We're talking about it right now, Kiefer and Curry. The Kiefer and Curry Show, we're laughing, so we must be talking about our other parts. So we must be talking about women. I want to talk about women this week, Kip. You get to talk about women? If I say I want to talk about women, what's the first thing you think I want to get into?
That's a very interesting question.
Hey, and by the way, I want to mention real quick. My daughter was trying to download the TKR app the other day, and she couldn't do it. Probably because my ex put some parameters on her phone. But I didn't realize this. But you have to be 17 to download my app. I was not aware of that. Obviously, my ex-wife has brought that to my attention. So when we talk about things here, this is we considered family friendly, only that I have a family, but we can get after it. You will hear some spicy talk. I mean, hell, you'll hear a shit or an F bomb on Pat McAfee's show every once in a while. It happens
the time.
So we're real. So feel free to get real here. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to answer your question. How I deal with my disastrous romantic life. You want to talk about women? Gee, Tony, that is a pretty broad topic.
Broad topic.
Yeah, I'm interested to see which direction you want to go, because I just did a need to know this week for talking about what's happened in the Supreme Court and what's happened, how we got to this point in American history. Those are things I know about. This whole women's subject, I am absolutely clueless. Well, I need a lot of help.
Yeah, I'm afraid to go here first because I'm afraid we'll never even talk about women. But I do have to ask you a question because you are my political go-to. You know a lot more about politics than a lot of people. And I heard your need to know talking about the Supreme Court. Is it just me, or does it seem like the Supreme Court is out there? And when I say out there, I mean on everything. Not until this particular Supreme Court, when Donald Trump brought his three goons on himself, not until we got this Supreme Court and the whole Roe versus Wade thing, have I ever seen a Supreme Court in the news as much as this one. I mean, we would go years and not hear a damn thing from this. I didn't even know if the Supreme Court was real. I actually thought maybe it was just this fake thing that we got these 9 or 11 people together and we just said it was a Supreme Court. Because when something went to the Supreme Court, it took years to get to the Supreme Court. And it seems now they're judging on something new every single week, and it's big stuff. Am I missing something here? Why all of a sudden are things moving so quickly?
Well, I think the easiest answer to your question is we're living in such contentious times all of a sudden, where people's view on everything is becoming more and more widespread. I think in times where everybody's on pretty much the same page, and that's certainly in our history, war times, times of great prosperity, like the 50s when everything was kind of bouncing back and booming, hence the boomer era. And also in times of I don't know, tragedy, the 9/11 situation in 2001, it's easy and it's not as divisive in those times. But right now there's a whole nother movement here that wants to go to this kind of big, gigantic, massive government situation. And there's a lot of other people that believe in individual liberties and states' rights. So there's just a lot of these questions now percolating. And the one that I talked about today was the fact that President Trump is countersuing and trying to avoid being charged as a private citizen with decisions he made while being president. It's the whole principle of presidential immunity, which without it, who would run for president? Because you couldn't make any decisions if the second you got out of office, they came and arrested you because somebody thinks that you violated the law.
But like so many things in our original Constitution, in our original papers, when our forefathers were standing around the table drinking their bourbon this was not what they were foreseeing, right? They weren't foreseeing a guy like Donald Trump running this country. That's why the immunity. I agree there should be some immunity. I don't agree with the idea that if we don't have immunity, that every ex-president from here on out is going to be under the gun. I think that's a bunch of bullshit. I just don't. Maybe it will, because it seems like when the Republicans say that he stole some papers and the Democrats come back and say, well, he stole some papers. So we're just going back and forth. Meanwhile, the taxpayer's out and we're losing millions and millions of dollars by all these, the lawyers are the only ones making the money. So I don't think when our forefathers wrote all these important papers that they were assuming that these presidents couldn't be convicted of something stupid enough if in fact they were guilty of it. Am I wrong here?
No, you're not wrong, but it gets down to this fact. The Constitution, as brilliant as it was, and they foresaw things that you just can't imagine 250 years ago. But the problem is, just to get the deal done with 13 different colonies who all had different leadership and different beliefs, they had to not get very specific in a lot of areas of the Constitution. They had to write implied language and interpretive clues of what their intent was. And it's not spelled out A, B, C, D, but when these kind of legal challenges come forward, this Supreme Court wants nothing to do with this, but grudgingly, they are in a position where they have to be called upon to kind of fill in some of the gaps that were left out for two reasons. One, that the forefathers could not, you know, foresee the evolution, and they left enough room for people in our era to make adjustments and add things called amendments. But the second and biggest reason was, they wouldn't have got the deal done, Tony, if they had put a bunch of specific language about the leader, because a lot of people didn't even want a strong federal government to start with. They wanted it to be all states governed.
Yep.
So there was just a whole view and vast, just like now, having differences of opinion is nothing new. To get this deal done, they had to keep it kind of vague and ambiguous. And now the Supreme Court's having to define more of that because of the divisive times we're living in.
All right, let's talk about women. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
There were no women amongst the founding fathers. That might be part of the problem.
No, and if there were, we'd probably still be writing the papers. They'd still be changing things up is what they'd be happening.
Tony Curry, that quote came to you courtesy of Tony Curry.
And I'll stand by it, too. I got news for you. So Mother's Day is coming up on May 12th.
Yeah.
And when I was single and I was working with married men, we would talk about divorce. And of course that was the last thing that was ever going to happen to me. I was going to prove everybody wrong, because everyone said, there's no way Tony Curry, first of all, will ever get married. I mean, I was single for so long, everyone thought I was gay. And then I proved them wrong. I went 18 years. I almost made it to the end, but it wasn't my fault. And I'll stand by that too. So I was always under the impression that a man really couldn't understand what a woman was, what she was all about, and what she thought until he actually gave birth to one, until you had a daughter. And everyone's like, you know, God's going to get you back, man. He's going to give you a daughter. I'm like, what do you mean he's going to get me back? It's like, for all those things you did to the women in your life, all the women, all the floozies and all the limos and all the coke and all the crazy crap you did, God's going to get you back by giving you a daughter. Well, I ended up adopting two boys. We had six miscarriages. And then after we adopted our second son, sure enough, God has a sense of humor. 6 years later, my wife gets pregnant at the age of 40. I'm 45. And now I'm 58 and I have a 12-year-old.
And, surprise, Tony.
And so, yeah. So I'm getting up to go to school. My kids are getting up to go to school this morning, and I got my daughter up at 6 o'clock, and we usually leave her on 6:45. And normally I'll wake her up. She comes down and lays on the couch, and then about 6:15, I go up and I'll wake her up again. I mean, that's what happens, right? Kids don't get up the first time. Well, I look on the couch at 6:05 and she's sitting up eating her Pop-Tarts. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm starting my day. And she goes, I feel great. And I said, wow. I said, this is fantastic. I mean, I didn't have to get you up twice. And she goes, well, you know what this means, Dad? And I said, what's that? She goes, I get to wear makeup today. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, now I've got 20 minutes to put my makeup on.
Oh, wow.
And I said, that's great. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I'm actually going to be, I'm going to look hot today. I'm going to be pretty. I'm going to look great. I said, baby doll. I said, you're 12 years old. I said, you are smoking hot anyway. I said, you're so pretty. And, you know, girls back in our days, I don't know about you, they didn't have their periods until they were 14 or 15, and they didn't put makeup on until they were 14 or 15. I don't think I saw a girl wearing makeup until she was at least in high school. Now my daughter's sitting there telling me that every 11 or 12 and 13-year-old, they put makeup on. And I was so happy for her that she was going to have this extra 20 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, and then she says to me, you boys have it so good. And I knew exactly what she meant, but I needed to find out exactly what she meant. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, you guys got it so good. You don't have to change your clothes. You don't have to comb your hair. You don't have to brush your teeth. You don't have to put makeup on. You have the better jobs. You get to go out and play golf with your buddies whenever you want. And she went on and on and on and on. And I said, you know what? I said,
wow.
I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. First of all, you sound like the daughter of a disheveled, divorced mother, which she is. I said, you need to stay away from your mom. And I said, second of all, I said, you're right. I said, you are spot on. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, I wouldn't want in a million years to be a woman. I said, the only way I'd want to be a woman is if I was really attractive, because I do think attractive women in this world can get whatever they want, whenever they want it. If you're good looking, and you play your cards right, you can get anything you want. You can marry whoever you want. You can live wherever you want. You can have as much money as you want till at least 50. After 50, if you let yourself go, it's on you. But you can stay pretty stinking hot, especially if you have the money to spend on Botox and breast augmentation, till you're about 50. So if you're a good-looking woman, and don't tell me otherwise, because I see it. If you're a good-looking woman, all you got to do is cross your legs enough times, and you will get the sale. I mean, there's enough guys out there that will buy beauty. I remember taking care of clients for like 13 or 14 years, and my boss would go, hey, listen, you lost this client. And I go, what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, the gal from Magic came over and da-da-da-da-da, and I'd call her up. I'd go over and visit her, and I'd take one look, and I go, I get it. It's because she was 6'1", had legs up to her neck, and I said, okay, that's all she wrote. 13 years of loyalty out the damn door because this young lady with a small skirt came knocking on the door of the agency. I know exactly how it works. But I will say this. I said, you know, honey, I said, you're right. I said, I can't imagine at the age of 12 having to spend 20 minutes a day putting makeup on. I said, it's just amazing to me how much time and effort. And I do a show called The Woodhouse Day Spa with Stuart Rome. It's called When in Rome. And he talks about, 78% of his clientele are women and how much they like to be pampered. And Mother's Day is coming up here on May 12th. And he just talks about all the time. He goes, you would not believe the feet we see. You ladies who cram your five little piggies into those 6-inch stilettos. God love you. I love you. If you're wearing a mini skirt and you wear flats, it looks like hell. It just doesn't look good. But if you wear a mini skirt with a pair of stilettos, it's rocking. And I will tell you right now, I don't care if women are wearing stilettos or high heels for other women. I know some women say they dress for other women because they want to outdress them. I know a lot of women dress for their man. But I will say this, as a man, we greatly appreciate you and we love you. And I will say this for the best. When I hear, I could be walking down a building, a hangar at the Birmingham International Airport. And if I hear a pair of heels clicking across the floor, I lose my shit.
It just grabs.
Do you not hear those heels? I hear those heels, and definitely. I start to sweat. I get excited. I get a bone. I mean, I'm all about.
There's no sound like that.
It's unbelievable. So we want to thank you because we know that ladies, and again, we went through this thing in COVID where all these women started posting things on Instagram like they weren't going to shave anymore, and they weren't going to wear bras anymore, and they weren't going to wear heels anymore because they've had it. There's no reason why we have to wear makeup, why we have to wear heels, why we have to wear, we're just going to do it our way. We're not shaving our legs. We're not shaving our arms. We're not shaving our armpits, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? You go for it. Good luck. Find yourself a man. And of course, most of those women was like, I don't need a man. And I said, eventually you're going to need it. You're going to need it. A man needs a woman. A woman needs a man. We're going to need it. I said, eventually you're going to need it. But that little tryst lasted about 6 months. You know, until that first woman showed up with you know, hairy armpits, and I'm like, no, that this is not gonna happen.
But you know, Tony, that, and I'm gonna jump in here because the misnomer is that we are, as men, are somehow demanding this. This is just to compete with each other. I'm sorry, that's what it is. You're not gonna get one up by the girl next door because you're gonna go out and knock yourself out to be better looking and better dressed and better groomed than she is. That's just the nature of how it works. And, you know, women hate that they are competing with each other, but they do. I've never demanded of any woman I've ever been with or known, you need to wear this or you need to do that, because that's not our call. This is strictly their thing of competing with one another.
No, and a lot of women would tell you that's the case. And I understand that. I know a lot of women like to dress up for their man. I don't know too many guys that like to dress up for women. I think clothes do make the man, and we do the best we possibly can. But my whole point here, and I was reading the story about Patti Smythe. You know who Patti Smythe is?
Yeah.
Patti Smythe was the lead singer of a band called Scandal.
Yes.
And they had a couple of hits, Goodbye to You, Love's Got a Line on You, and then they had their big hit called The Warrior that came out in 1987, 88, something like that. And a really pretty girl, and I've been hooked on this, Love's Got a Line on You. It's a great song. I mean, if they released it right now, it'd be a number one hit. It's just a great song. It just wasn't released at the right time. Anyway, she's married to John McEnroe.
Yeah, and I knew she was married to somebody prominent.
She was walking the red carpet at the Vanity Fair party a couple weeks ago with John, and they have done a really masterful job at keeping the relationship really, really quiet, and they don't do interviews. And I've actually interviewed John McEnroe several times because they had that senior tour, that thing that came through with the Bruno event team. And he was here with, I forget who, it wasn't Jimmy Connors, maybe it was Borg, I forget who else was part of that. And so I knew that he was married to her, and I was like, I said off air, can I please ask you a question about your wife? And of course, my two knucklehead radio guys, they didn't have a clue who he was married to. And I wanted to talk to John more about his wife than I want to talk about John. I really didn't give a squat about John. I didn't care about his rants and raves. I wanted to talk about Patti Smythe. And I said, is it true that she was supposed to be the new lead singer of Van Halen? And he said, yes.
Wow.
And I said, she was asked to be the new lead singer before they chose Sammy Hagar. And he goes, yes, that is correct. And I said, and I already knew the answer, but I said, and why didn't she take the job? He said, because she just had a child. She wanted to have another child. She was actually married to a guy named Richard Hell. For a lot of people may know him. He's the punk rock era. He's known. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Richard Hell. She was married to him for a couple of years. And then she was at a party. Her and John McEnroe actually grew up about 10 minutes apart growing up. They ran into each other at a party. Neither one of them wanted to date each other. And they took like a year off. And next thing you know, they're married. And they've been together for 26 years. And they're still madly in love with each other. And he's like, no, she realized as a woman... you know, could you imagine the trajectory of Patti Smythe's career if she had become the lead singer of Van Halen? I can't. First of all, is there any other bands like say outside the Pretenders with Chrissy Hynde? I'm trying to think. Joan Jett. I'm trying to think of Pat Benatar wasn't really known for her band. I'm trying to think of some female singers who had that big and that well known of a band behind them. Linda Ronstadt. I mean, she had the Eagles behind her, right, for a while.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So, but I'm thinking to myself, how famous would Patti Smythe have been had she taken that job? Because Eddie could write a hit whenever he wanted to. I mean, they made a hell of a lot more money with Sammy than they did with Roth because they know they could go there. Just think about the love songs that they could have written. That would have rocked. I mean, she would have been fantastic, and she could probably sing the David Lee Roth stuff. And I was wanting to kind of gauge him and whether she had any resentments. And he's like, if you're wanting to know, she does not resent one moment of it. She's happy she did what she did. She actually came out with a new album in 2020. She's actually back on the road again as a solo artist. Nice. And he said, no, he said, she's been super blessed. And he said, and she married me. So she got it pretty good. said, yes, she did. But I mean, seriously, if I said, Kip, you got an opportunity to be the lead singer of Van Halen, knowing it's a slam dunk. I mean, there's no way you're not going to have hit after hit after hit. And he goes, that's what women do. Pat Benatar was on the top of her game. Shadows in the Night, Love is a Battlefield. She was huge. And all of a sudden said, I want to have a baby. And if I don't have a baby now, I'm not going to have time. What'd she do? She's going to take some time off. Well, 35 years later, now she's back on the road again. Now, she can't sing like she was when she was 35 years old, but she took that time off. And so, for women who have to wear high heels, have to get up 20 minutes early when they're in fifth grade to put makeup on, and have to give up their careers. Think about how many women have to give up their careers. Imagine what would happen if Taylor Swift this year said, listen, I want to get pregnant and have a child with Kelsey, so I'm gonna take a couple of months off, and she never came back. How the world of music would change.
And it happens all the time. We don't realize it, but a lot of prominent women kind of fall off the face of the earth because they have that urge and that need
Can you name some other ones off the top of your head? Because
I'm trying to think.
Anybody in a political forum? I mean, this is more just
no, rocket. Not at all. And I'm kicking myself because I should know it right off the bat. It's Kentucky Derby week. There was a female jockey about 5 or 6 years ago, and I can't believe I'm just having a blank moment. But anyway, she was Tony at the top of her game. She was one of the first females to ever win a Triple Crown race. She was one of the leading earners, and all of a sudden, she just said at 28 years old or something, I've accomplished all I want to in horse racing. I want to have a family.
Wow.
And she just walked. I mean, she flat walked away and it's never been heard from since.
And this is not a millionaire. I mean, this is not LeBron James. This is not Caitlin Carr. This is not a gal that's got, she can sit back and not work another day in her life. She's got to work, right?
No, I would say probably in her best year. I mean, she may have banked maybe $1.5 million, $2 million, which is a lot of money.
Yeah, but not enough.
But that's not enough for a lifetime, because I'm sure she's not getting any kind of residuals or anything. But, I mean, that's the one that just popped in my head when you mentioned that, because that's a sport that's on my mind this week with the Derby on Saturday. But I know if I thought about it, I could probably come up with a bunch more, because that biological clock and that need to procreate and give birth to a new human life is a powerful force living within most women. It's got to be the ultimate conflict. And I can't imagine what my decisions would be. I've just got to spend three or four days with my grandson. My daughter-in-law is huge out here in her business as an event planner, but she took the time to have a baby, and thank God she did, because we've got King now, who's awesome. God bless women. They're really.
I'm being dead serious. God bless you, because I don't know what I do. I couldn't do that. Now we're certainly going to think different, because if we get the mind of a woman instead of the mind of a man, we always think, man, if we were good looking, we'd be such sluts. No, we wouldn't. We'd be different. We'd have the mind of a woman. We'd be like that. But I'm trying to think to myself, is there? And Janice Rogers from Fox 6 was on this morning. I was on Fox 6 this morning, and we'll be on ABC 3340 this Saturday morning with the starting lineup of Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. And I was asking her, I said, you're a celebrity. I said, when you wanted to start your family, what'd you do? She said, well, the difference is here, I'm not Pat Benatar. I don't have millions and millions of dollars, behind me. I don't have the opportunity. Even a jockey made $1 million. You put your money away. Maybe you could sit out a couple of years and do whatever you want to do. You could retire. Maybe you don't need to have, a giant 6'3" in Malibu. But she said, I had to work, and most women do have to work. In my situation, my ex wanted to stay home. We adopted our first boy, and then we adopted our second boy. And because it was an adoption, there was a bonding process that had to happen. And it was important for her to spend as much time as she possibly could with him, and I as well. And I said, so you're saying you don't want to work? And she made more money than I did. She was making $90,000 a year, and I was making $80,000 a year. And that was $170,000 a year, and this was 35 years. That's pretty good money. It's pretty good,
no
pretty
kidding.
Pretty good jack. And I said, well, you know, I can work, and you can not work. If that's what you want to do, I'm just going to have to bust my ass. And I said, well, get after it, because we're at a certain level of living. And she said, that'd be great. And it was something we communicated about, and we agreed on it. And I said, that's super. And from that point on, I felt really proud of myself and proud of her and proud of my family that I could be I validated my existence as a man, that I could give her, you know, sex every once in a while. She wasn't too tired. And I could validate my existence by making sure that the car stayed in the driveway and she had a warm place to sleep and something to eat. And I wanted to be that provider for my family. There's nothing worse, by the way, than a woman saying to a man, you need to step up. I heard that many times, and it's just, women know how to stick the knife in and screw it and turn it several times. I heard some things, but, so that really validated my existence. And so she didn't have to work for 18, 19 years. Another reason why, you know, I have feelings for women. I mean, you don't work in the most employable years of your life, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and all of a sudden you're divorced after 20 years and you haven't worked a day in your life and you're 50 years old and all of a sudden you have to get back out there. I mean, I cannot imagine it. I cannot imagine it. It would be horrible. That being said, God's good. She'll figure it out. And all women do. When women got to go through those things like that, she was fortunate enough that she didn't have to work a day in life. And that would be probably, and I realize being a mother, and maybe this is all kind of coming to the top of my mind because Mother's Day is coming up. And I realize, and I'm not poo-poo on this. I agree that being a mother is the hardest job on the face of the earth. I get it. But being a father is too.
Oh, definitely. And vital.
And there are great mothers, there are bad mothers, there are independent mothers, there's mothers that figure it out by child four, there are mothers who never figure it out by child one. I get it. And it's one thing about my ex, and I know you say this about your ex too. She's a great mother. She's a fantastic mother. She really takes care of our boys and she is much loved. But yeah, that'd be really difficult. Because you're, as a man, I don't think we, and I told her, I said, I don't want to stop working because I needed to work. It was my identity. I said, if you want to go to work and I stay home and I'm Mr. Mom, I could do that. I could grow into that. But I don't think I had that paternal instinct in me to just give up my job and become a stay-home parent. Now, I could do that now. I'd love to be a stay-at-home father right now. I mean, I because there's so much to do, and I know you could too. And for the most part, you are. That's what you do. We're so blessed to have the jobs we have that we can do these things with our boys. But I just talk about that a little bit because I think, you know, it's just with Mother's Day coming up, it is an extremely hard job. The thing about being a mother though is you are your own boss. And I think you and I spoke about this last week on our show, Kiefer and Curry, being your own boss, is really cool. It's wonderful. You get to do what you want, but it takes a huge amount of discipline and a lot of responsibility. And that certainly goes for a lot of the mothers out there.
Well, I mean, and once you get kind of in that mode, where you're managing your time, that's the key to it, because a lot of people really have limited ability to manage themselves or have to develop that ability, because you're used to, in a conventional employment structure, to being there when you're told, leaving when you're told, doing the things that you're asked to do. When you are in a position where you're making the decisions on how to allocate your time and what to prioritize, that makes it more challenging, but also more satisfying. I can tell you, Tony, that I don't know where I heard it, but years ago I heard that at the end of the day, you might be extremely exhausted, but there's such a thing as good sleep, where you go to bed satisfied that, you know, I really did everything I needed to do today. I watch, and I've watched for the last 4 days out here. Again, Tracy's a full-time, my daughter-in-law, full-time event planner, works in a big company, goes to work, calls people, always coordinating on her phone. But she doesn't ever compromise that when she's with King, my three-year-old grandson here, she is, I mean, he is priority one. Everything else can wait, but she is able to manage her time. And I don't know if most men really have the capacity to be able to compartmentalize and do that. I'm sure that there are some that can, but I marvel watching her operate here because I just think it's extraordinary. I had the same experience you did. I wanted my wife to be a stay at home, and that's what mm-hmm. she wanted. The reasons that we got together, because we had our priorities and our, you know, basic hopes of what we wanted to create. And she was phenomenal and continues to be phenomenal. My boys are in their 30s now, and she's still the best mom possible and now the best grandma. But you know, it comes to a point where when your children start to get, that challenges so many marriages, including mine, when your kids get to be pretty self-sufficient, getting later in high school and along the way, then that maternal instinct, that whole desire for a lot of women, there's just a big void then all of a sudden.
Yep.
And they do want to go back to work, and they do want to go and do other things. And I think the dissolution of my marriage came a lot from that same kind of a situation where she gets around other women and they start talking about this and that, and you know, he should be doing this and that. I think when women get back out in the world, it really challenges a relationship, and that's certainly what happened to mom.
You're preaching to the choir here, and I would tell anybody, you know, it used to be the 7-year itch. It's about 17 to 20 years. Why do you think it's 17 to 20 years? Most divorces happen is because that's about the time kids are self-sufficient. They're leaving house.
And I
can tell you right now, I went through the exact same thing, and I wish someone had told me, hey, listen, when your kids are 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you better have it blowing and going, because come 16, 17, you know, that's the time, that's when you're supposed to start looking at retirement. You're holding hands, the old couple walking down the beach together. You get to rediscover each other.
Well, Making great plans for the future.
And I got news for you. If you haven't said anything outside, you know, how were the boys' school today, and you're not talking and communicating with her and her with you about anything but the kids, then you're going to look at each other 15 years down the road. You're not going to know who the hell you're with. And I'm telling you, it's going to end a divorce. It just does. And when you sat there and said the job, it just makes me cringe, because I know those groups of women, you know, it seems like every woman I know is in real estate now. Every woman's going out and they're getting real estate. I'm like, dude, real estate's like the divorce precursor of the world. Guys, if you're out there right now and you have a wife that you think you're in a happy marriage and she wants to start selling real estate, go get yourself a marriage counselor. I'm just telling you, because it's something that women can do on their own. They can take a test. They can go open, you know, their little antique shop, or they can become there's so many.
And they're preparing to be substantial without you. That's
yes.
kind of what
and they will
need
be.
To understand.
And they will
you
be.
You know, if people listening don't get anything else out of this today than this, I want everybody to really open your ears, particularly, well, men and women, but men particularly. If you, and this is the mistake I made, and my wife, I'll put her in the same, my ex-wife in the same boat. We put all of the priority from day one. We were pregnant, I think, on our honeymoon. So we had a son before we even knew each other. 9 months, boom, there it is. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law said, I was looking at the calendar. I was making sure. Yes, baby.
Yeah.
But from day one, all of our priority was on our children, our two sons. Every waking moment, every event, everything was magnified for them. And look what happened. Both my sons are awesome. They're both tremendously successful. They're polite. They're great young men, worth every bit. You know, the sad thing is, Tony, and this sounds so cliche, but you have to make time for your spouse, just you and her. And you hear some people say that, well, it's our date night. But I mean, that's not just semantics. That is a real thing. And if you neglect that, your marriage will not last.
It will not last. You're right. And I was waiting for that, but you got great children. You got great things. And you know, I'm doing everything I possibly can now with my sons. I have an older son. I got one that's going to turn 19 this year. He needs to make sure he hears and sees the right thing out of his dad's mouth, because he needs to realize that not all women are like that. Not all marriages end in divorce. As a matter of fact, half of them end up divorced, but half of them make it. And it's hard. It's hard. You know, being married's hard. You have to make sacrifices. There's got to be a lot of forgiving going on. There's a lot of resentments. There's a lot of things. You got to stay intimate with each other on every facet of the word. But it's really you want to talk about a tough job. It's one of the most difficult things to do. You know, I have a lot of people tell me, you know, generationally, my mom and dad were married 56 years. And my dad, you know, the last 6 years, my mom had dementia, and he would have never divorced her because she had dementia. But well, I always figured, you know, and people would say, how'd you do it? You know, 56 years. And he would say, well, you know, 20 of those years, I was doing it. 36 of those years were really tough. And so just because you've been married for 56 years doesn't mean that marriage is great the whole time. A lot of people would say a 50-year marriage, 48 years were horrible. 2 years were good. We just stuck it out, because in our generation, you didn't get divorced.
No.
The generation before ours, you didn't do it. You just did. Back in the 60s and 70s, you didn't get divorced. You figured it out. And you hope like hell that, you know, maybe you go through your distractions and you go through your pregnant pauses and you end up somehow back together again. I think that's where guys miss a lot of things. And I think that's a great point, what you just brought up. The other thing is guys, we just think things are going to work out. Well, it'll work out. They'll figure it out. You know,
yeah, we'll worry about that when it comes up. Well, believe me, folks, it comes quicker than you think. Yep. Because all of a sudden you wake up one day and your first son's going off to college and your relationship with your wife isn't what it should be. And next thing you know, it's
you shouldn't, you know, now you shouldn't have
I'm
to wait
20 years divorced.
Yeah.
I've not had a significant relationship for 20 years. It's really, I don't know. I don't need to get into anything depressing.
No, I hear you. You shouldn't have. You shouldn't have to wait till you're sleeping on the couch before you start talking to your wife about
what
the issues are.
That's right. That's exactly.
And if you're sitting
right
there going, if you're this guy that says I didn't see that coming, you ain't paying attention.
Yeah, it's so
ain't paying
true.
Attention. I never saw it coming. I never saw it coming. Then you ain't paying attention. That's on you, because you've been missing the boat. You've been missing the red flags for a long time. You've been talking yourself some shit for a long time. I got news for you.
You just dropped the mic with that one. That is absolutely right. You weren't paying attention.
Well, ladies, we love you and we appreciate you. And we know that it's, you know, super hard. You know, something else that I think we get a topic out of, and it just made me think about this, because being a mother is a tough job, but you don't have a boss. You are the boss. Do men need to have a boss more than a woman? Think about it. So when was the last time you had a job that you actually had a boss you had to talk to? You had to answer to a boss, Kip?
Probably directly is when I worked in the racing business and managed the track. So I had to answer to the owner, of course. But, you know, I for a long time, I've been kind of spoiled, Tony. I've actually been the boss who has to answer to somebody else who's not really is not really involved in the day-to-day operations. So,
yeah, you got to answer your clients and stuff, because that's how you get paid. I mean, you have to take care of your clients, your salespeople and stuff like that. But no, and I think that's interesting, because I don't know if I can, I'm disciplined enough to have gone 20 years without a boss. I don't know if guys are disciplined enough to go that long. I mean, first of all, we're going to figure something out. You know, if we're told we're going to be the stay home dad, and let's just switch the tables and make all the women go to work and make the men stay home, we will Mr. Mom it. We will have the kids roped up out in the backyard with a bowl of water, and dad's playing golf. We will figure it out and we'll catch hell for it. But they will, because that's just what we do. But it does make me wonder, when you go 20 years without having someone to answer to have someone on your ass. Like, if I'm not at work at 8 o'clock, I got the fear of being fired, or I'm not doing my job right, and not having that and only answering to yourself. You have to have incredible self-discipline. So that's another thing that I would thank women for, is your incredible self-discipline, Because a stay-at-home mom's got to be incredibly self-disciplined. I mean, I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
Yep, that's for sure. I've observed it for the last couple of days, and plaudits to my daughter-in-law. She's doing a fantastic job, and so's my son. Because I mean, it's so much fun, Tony, when you get to the grandpa age. Which, good grief, I can't believe I'm a grandpa still, 3 years old. But I watch Case, and it allows you to kind of relive that era when he was that size, and so it really is special. It's like a great encore that you're just thrilled to be a part of.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get to that. I hope I do. So my son's 18. So I'm going to be pushing 70 by the time I'm a grandparent, if I'm lucky. 70. I may be sitting on that kid's lap before that kid's sitting on mine. I got news for you, because my bones are starting to crack a little bit. but I do hear being a grandparent's awesome, because I mean it's almost better than having your own child, because you can leave when you want to.
Yeah, I'm flying out in a few minutes. So.
I didn't mean that way. I mean, grandpa's coming over, and grandpa needs to take a nap.
yeah.
See you later, grandpa's going bye bye. Of course, I'm also not in those situations where I see this happen a lot too, where the grandparents end up watching the kids a hell of a lot more than they want to.
We had a couple of big hockey showdowns. I bought him a goal and sticks and everything, because I've gotten him into hockey. But Tony, I lost both the big showdowns, because somehow the game morphed into hockey, basketball, and soccer all at the same time. I scored a goal to tie it 2-2, and next thing you know, he's kicking the soccer ball and he's going, score! It was 3-2. Later, he dropped it in the basket. So I ended up losing 5-3, but three of his points were soccer balls or basketball. So,
there you go.
It's a home court. I got jobbed.
All right, my man. Look forward to working with you again. Coming up this Saturday morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Can't wait.
It is the starting lineup. Tim Brando, he is on the schedule. We were supposed to have him last week, but hopefully he'll be on. And also, of course, the Woodhouse Day Spa. Speaking of Mother's Day, coming up on May 12th, they're going to join us the following week. If you're looking for a great gift, the Woodhouse Day Spa, Birmingham.woodhousespas.com, do fantastic work. They're going to be joining us as well, coming up on this wonderful show called The Starting Lineup, 10:30, 11 o'clock every Saturday morning on ABC 3340. Have yourself a wonderful day, my friend.
Same to you, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.